Hi, Patrick Madrid here. Thanks for listening. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. Mention offer code Patrick and get a free phone. Go to charitymobile.com.
Compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to the Patrick Madrid Show, where the number always is 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. Did you see The Passion of the Christ when it came out? Gosh, what? 15 years ago, something like that. It caused a big stir. It's one of the biggest grossing movies, if not the biggest grossing movie ever. You know, well over $1 billion in gross receipts, not to mention overseas and, you know, stuff. So just the footprint of a movie. And of course, it was, as you remember, it was controversial for a couple of reasons. The first of the reasons was because it was Mel Gibson who made it. And I'll put my cards on the table. I really like Mel Gibson's work. I've watched many of his movies. I don't even know how many he's got, but probably most of them I've seen, at least the commercially popular ones. I like his work as a director. I like his work as an actor. I don't agree with him when it comes to things like his view that there has been no valid pope since the time of Pope Pius XII. As I understand the backstory, Mel Gibson inherited this view of the church. You know, being Catholic and growing up Catholic, he inherited this view of the church from his father, who lived to a very, very old age and was himself what's known as a sede vacantist, somebody who doesn't believe that there is a validly elected pope. And that's what the term sede vacantist means. It's sort of an anglicized version of the two Latin words that mean empty chair. I think I touched on this yesterday, but just for your good-to-know file, sede vacantist, if you break it down into those two anglicized words, it means empty chair or chair empty in the case of the Latin word order. And the chair is symbolic of the authority of the pope. So when we talk about an ex cathedra decision, the cathedra or cathedras in the Greek, which you actually see in Matthew chapter 23, the word cathedras is there in the Greek, where Jesus says to the apostles, you know, look at these scribes and Pharisees. They have taken their seat on the chair, the cathedras of Moses. And so that is translated, it's almost a direct cognate from Greek into Latin. So in Latin, it's cathedra. That's where we get the word cathedral from, because that's where the bishop's chair is. And the chair is symbolic of his teaching authority. And in Matthew 23, beginning in verse 1, Jesus invokes this authority, which, by the way, was an oral tradition of the Old Testament era. It wasn't written down. You won't find it mentioned in any of the Old Testament books. And yet Jesus invokes it as an authority, and it just happened to be part of the unwritten oral tradition of the Mosaic era. And he says, you know, follow, do what they tell you, do what they teach you, but don't follow their example, because they're blind guides, they're whitewashed sepulchers and all that. So that's where the word cathedra comes from. And in English, we say the word chair, and another word for it in Latin is sedia. So the term sede vacante means empty chair, and that is, again, symbolic of this notion, this belief, that the chair remains empty because there has been no validly elected pope since. Most of the sede vacantes that I've interacted with, they would say since Pope Pius XII. But in any case, I've left a popcorn trail for you so we can find our way back to what I was talking about, which is Mel Gibson. And Mel Gibson inherited this view of the church of sede vacantism from his father. So Mel Gibson is a professed Catholic, and he infuses much of his later work, at least, with his Catholic faith. I think that's great. Now, he and I may not agree on certain matters pertaining to the church in her existence in 2022, but in any case, he made the movie The Passion of the Christ as a labor of love. He wanted to do his version of the story of Jesus's passion, hence the title. And so it's controversial for that reason. Number one, because Mel Gibson had his own run-ins with the law, and he had anti-Semitic comments against him, things that he said that he later apologized for. So just in his world, professionally speaking, he had lots of controversial things going on in his life. So when he was sort of blacklisted, maybe not sort of, he was in the eyes of many people kind of blacklisted, and people didn't want to work with him for fear that they would, their reputation might be tainted because they worked with him, or that it might come across that they agreed with some of his views. Jodie Foster, by the way, to her credit, she stuck by Mel Gibson and even cast him in at least one movie, and they remain friends. I think that's to her credit, because even though the rest of Hollywood was treating him as if he was a toxic disease, she stuck with him. So in any case, that's a side note. He made The Passion of the Christ, and it was a huge success. It was also controversial, not just because it was associated with him, but also because there were charges of anti-Semitism and people who were complaining that it made the Jews look worse than maybe they really were in historical context, or maybe it exaggerated aspects of stereotypes of Jews and things like that. And I don't want to litigate those points because, you know, that's not my expertise. I saw the movie, and I did not personally detect any overt anti-Semitism. And not being Jewish, you know, maybe that's why. Maybe because I don't have a sensitivity that somebody who is Jewish. But I didn't detect any. And I went into the movie expecting to see it and aware that other people had said that they saw it. So I had my radar up, and I didn't see it. And I was looking for it. I will tell you, if you saw the movie, then you and I would probably agree that the most difficult scene to watch is the scourging at the pillar, which goes on, and it's incredibly graphic. I'm not ashamed to admit it, but halfway through, I just closed my eyes because I just couldn't keep watching it. It was just too graphic. But in any case, it's probably far more realistic than other movies about Jesus when they show the scourging of the pillar, with the exception of my favorite Jesus movie of all time, which would be Jesus of Nazareth by Franco Zeffirelli Jr. He was a master of the art form, and this miniseries version of the life of Jesus that he produced, and I think it came out in 1977, if I'm not mistaken. It was just, to my mind, the gold standard. But Mel Gibson, he came really close to that gold standard. If not, he may even have tied Franco Zeffirelli in terms of the artistic beauty of the movie and the power, etc. So I'm going into all of this detail. You may say, why are you telling me this? I saw this movie 15 years ago. Well, because there's another one coming. All of that to lead up to that little bit of news. Apparently, there is another Passion of the Christ. It'll be the sequel, and you can guess what the sequel is. Cyrus, can you guess what the sequel is to The Passion of the Christ, where he dies on the cross? Can you imagine what the sequel might be, young Cyrus?
Oh, I'm going to throw this Resurrection?
Yeah.
I got it?
You got it on the first try.
I was going to be a smart aleck and say, like, Empire Strikes Back, but I didn't know if that'd be appropriate.
Probably not, no. So, yeah, it'll be the Resurrection. And I have some info for you, and this is from MovieWeb. I'll just read it. It's a kind of a brief overview.
This being Hollywood, I wouldn't be surprised if it's like mm-hmm. Jesus in space, or I'd be so surprised if they. I'm surprised that they take this as seriously as they do, and I'm glad that they do. But isn't it? I mean, it's Hollywood. They're to give them any to think that they're going to do it right is a long shot.
Well, when you say they...
They, as in...
That may be
the
true.
The producers and the studios and the...
Well, here's the
editing.
Thing. Here's the thing, young Cyrus. Bend your ear, incline your ear to me, and I will teach you. Mel Gibson has got so much money from the success of The Passion of the Christ. Not to mention, I mean, he's a very successful actor and director in his own right. For many years, so it's not as though he's got to go get a loan. He can write the checks. He calls the shots. He decides who edits the film. He
yeah,
is
Patrick,
the director.
Tell us.
He is the one who would make those decisions. So unlike, let's say, another movie that might be more by committee,
Jules Schumacher.
whoever, whatever that is.
Yeah.
Is he a director?
Well, some people call him that.
Okay.
All right. Yes.
So let's get back to Mel Gibson, shall we?
Sorry.
So Mel Gibson he's a powerhouse. So he's got the money. He's got the studio. He's got the clout to get talent. Certainly, I would assume at least that according to what they're saying here in this article, that Jim Caviezel would reprise the role of Jesus. And of course, the greatest story ever told, which is another movie about Jesus, has to do with his resurrection. And the fact that he promised that he would rise again on the third day. People didn't believe it. Even his apostles, they couldn't quite take that. They couldn't quite understand that. So this whole idea of revisiting a topic that's of intense interest to well over a billion people on this planet, the life and resurrection of Jesus, it looks like in the next few years there will be another one of these movies from Mel Gibson. And all of this preamble to get to that point. But I wanted you to understand it in context. I think this is great news. And I'm very hopeful that if he's successful in getting this movie, and assuming that it's as good and as powerful as the first movie was, it could have a very profound effect on people. You know, Cyrus, did you ever see the movie The Passion of the Christ? Because I have a little tidbit of trivia for you.
No, I actually avoided it. It's too... Mm. It's too graphic. From the little bit that I saw, I was like, I don't need to see that.
Well, let me tell you, that one scene is, and then of course the crucifixion is very unpleasant, but it was very unpleasant. It wasn't something that you could look upon with, you know, without any emotion at all. But I would encourage you to see it because of its impact. It will impact you. And that's a good thing. It should impact you. And that's why I'm
like
happy
Schindler's
to recommend
List
it.
Is impactful. I mean,
exactly.
Okay, and that's there's
but
a
more
movie
so.
I saw once, and I don't think I ever need to see it again. I understand what's going on, mm-hmm. and I don't need the visual. I don't need it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I stay away from this movie.
I saw Schindler's List once, and never. I didn't see it again. I don't like you. I don't feel the need to see it again. It made its mark. I know the story, at least as Steven Spielberg told it. And yeah, for that matter, I didn't mention this, but I will now. I saw The Passion of the Christ once. Nancy and I went to go see it during Holy Week, the year that it came out. What was that, 2004, I think, thereabouts? So I saw it once. I watched it from beginning to end. There was a standing ovation in this crowded theater.
That's always cool. That's a
it was cool.
Feeling.
Now, this was one of those things, because he did a lot of this when the movie was brought to the theaters of you could buy tickets and your whole church could go and you could fill up a, you know, like a 1,000-seat cinema, 500-seat cinema. So we were one of those where virtually everyone who was there was Catholic, or there probably were some Protestants there as well, but everybody just reacted the same way. People were on their feet and they gave it a standing ovation. So I watched it that one time. And I'm glad I did, and I would encourage other people to watch it. But I can respect that if you feel like it might be too much. But I would say watch it once. Watch it once. And if you do what I did during the scourging at the pillar scene, just close your eyes for a minute or so, because that is a bit much. I don't know that it was... I don't know whether that scene was over-dramatized. And the reason is because the Romans... They had perfected the art form of torturing people within an inch of their life, but still not killing them. And so 40 lashes less one was one of those art forms that they had perfected, where they knew exactly how to lacerate the body with the whips. They would tie bits of bone and metal to the ends of the leather straps that would come out of the top of the whip. It wasn't like one whip. It was multiple leather strands with bone and metal tied to the end of it. So it would do a terrible, terrible damage to the body. And you see it, and you see it right up close. So it's not, you know, it's not something to take a little child to see. It would be traumatic for a child to see that. But I would recommend that. And then I would also recommend that the Patrick Madrid Show keep all of you updated as this develops. And as soon as we have more information on that, I will tell you about it, but I wanted you to know ahead of time. 888-914-9149. Let's go to Denise now in St. John, Indiana. Good morning, Denise, and thank you for your patience. Welcome.
No problem. Good morning, Patrick. I might have missed your answer, but I had an experience with someone donating their body to Duke mm-hmm. University. He had a brain tumor that was so strange, a mutation of a mutation. So he had never thought about donating his body, I guess. But with that in mind, he said, please let Duke, you know, have me so they can see what's going on with this brain tumor. Now, it was in the height mm-hmm. of the pandemic. And what ended up happening is they did send the ashes back to his wife. And she did finally, just this past year, have a Catholic mass, funeral mass for him. And I think I'm pretty sure the ashes were buried. So mm-hmm. does that make it a little better? I just never heard of, I know of other people talking about donating their bodies, but this is someone that was very dear to me. And mm-hmm. is that okay then?
Yeah. Let me just begin by pointing out, Denise, that it's not my decision. You know, it's not my opinion that really matters because I have no say in the issue. But what I was trying to do yesterday was to adequately or accurately express the church's approach to topics like this. So one of the things I did, I don't know if you heard this part, is I read like four paragraphs of the catechism that talk about this general topic. And although the catechism's okay, you did hear. Okay, so the catechism does specifically talk about organ donation, and it can be meritorious, etc. But it doesn't mention donating the whole body. And so if you heard my commentary yesterday, I'll just recap it briefly for those who didn't hear it. And I was just saying that my view would be in the absence of the church saying anything specific, at least in the catechism. Now, I could plow through, you know, were there ever any dubious sent to the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, for example, and did this question get raised with them? And then they responded. And what was the response? I don't know. And there might be something there, but I haven't checked for it. But in the absence of something like that, what I was saying is that it would be, in my view, it would be more in keeping with the church's requirement that we show due respect for the temple of the Holy Spirit, which your body is if you're a baptized person. The Holy Spirit indwelled that body. So in this case, Denise, since they sent the ashes back to her, that's wonderful because she can actually do that now, she did it apparently, but she was able to properly inter them in a place where it's dignified and respectful, and that's a good thing. So I'm happy to hear it worked out that way. One thing to remember, when somebody dies, let's say that the body is not able to be buried for, you know, months even, sometimes that happens. Don't delay having masses said for that person. Begin right away if you're going to have more than one mass said for the repose of the soul of the person. Certainly don't delay it because there's no connection in that sense as far as the benefit of to the person in purgatory, if they're in purgatory. There's no connection between the disposition of the body and where the person goes in the afterlife. It's not as though God will not let that person out of purgatory until the ashes or the body are properly interred. And I'm not saying that you hold that view, Denise, but just in case somebody listening might think that way. So you want to have masses said on behalf of the soul of the person who died, pray the rosary for them and so on. And in this case, it sounds like it worked out really well because he was able to make a contribution to medical science. Hopefully they found out something, you know, earth-shattering from studying his brain, and then his ashes were buried in the end. That's a good thing.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Have a wonderful day, Patrick.
Likewise, Denise. Thank you. Okay, we'll take a break. We're going to come back. We have a line. Actually, just opened up a line right there. So if you want to call in, if you call now, you won't get a busy signal. 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. The Pope is going to consecrate Russia and Ukraine. And now the word all of humanity has been added to the consecration prayer. And I'm going to read you the text of the prayer. What's he going to say on Friday? I'm going to read it to you when we come back from this quick timeout.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to... Hi, Patrick Madrid here. Thanks for listening to my podcast. In today's crazy world, finding companies that align with your Catholic values is a challenge. Your choice of cell phone provider matters. Cyrus and I switched to Charity Mobile, and you should too. Enjoy excellent coverage on America's most reliable network while supporting a pro-life, pro-family company. Use offer code Patrick for a free phone. Don't miss out. Act now at charitymobile.com. Sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio Line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forrester.
Get connected to the conversation. Call now, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Patrick Madrid is on now. Relevant Radio.
Cyrus, this to me is, would be like the soundtrack of your life. Like you get up in the morning and this music is playing in your head as you go through the day. You crank it up just a little bit. This would be like the Cyrus Simcoe soundtrack.
Yeah.
It's kind of funky.
Yeah, I like it. I wouldn't call this my soundtrack.
As you're sauntering down the street, like the opening scene of Saturday Night Fever. All right.
Yeah, not me, buddy.
No, not you. I bet you don't own a pair of shoes like that either. That was a bad movie, by the way. Don't see that movie. It was a bad movie. Good dancing scenes, but there was some other stuff in that movie, just not good. Anywho, yes, I am going to read to you in a little bit. I'm going to read to you the
text. This is my morning theme music.
Oh, let's hear it.
I don't know. But I had to hurry, so I don't know when it actually gets. I want to skip ahead here. See if anybody recognizes it. There it is. Do you know what that is?
I know I should. I know I should know it. I'm blanking.
Good. Let's just keep it that way.
So is this as you're combing your hair thoughtfully, staring into the mirror, this music?
That's not what I was going for. No, never mind.
I'm smart enough.
I'm good enough.
I'm good enough. And doggone it,
Patrick,
people like me.
Patrick likes me.
I think this music is very fitting for your life. If they ever do a movie, if Mel Gibson ever does a movie about you, I will vote that this be in the soundtrack. Okay, let's stop it. scratch the record. 888-914-9149. As I was saying, I am going to read to you the entire text of the recently released prayer of consecration that Pope Francis is going to pray on Friday. We're covering it live here on Relevant Radio. Don't miss it and participate along with all the other Catholic folk around the world, Catholic lay people, religious sisters, priests, bishops, cardinals, and the Pope himself will all be praying this. And I'll share it with you here in just a little bit. So please stand by for that. In the meantime, some more phone calls. Let's go to Ronnie in Austin. Good morning, Ronnie.
Good morning. I have a question on how we can best support our Pope. We, you know, many times support with First Saturday devotion. Could we do that this Friday? Meditate on the rosary, do an act of spiritual communion, an act of contrition, spiritual things similar to the end of a 33-day consecration.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We can do all of those things. Any kind of spiritual solidarity that one can have with the rest of the church around the world, that's a beautiful thing. So absolutely, yes.
Is there anything else you would think would be best? Because I don't want this to be one where people say, well, if we would have done this, it would have been more valid. You know, I'd like to mm-hmm. be able to tell people when they ask.
Right. That's a good question. And I appreciate your sentiments for that. Well, when I read this to you, I think some of the answer will come out in the prayer itself. And I will share that here. What time is it? Yeah, I will share it here before the end of the hour, probably sooner rather than later. In the meantime, though, if you are participating consciously, actively, you're praying the prayer, I would say tune into Relevant Radio, certainly on Friday morning. I mean, every morning, of course, but in a particular way on Friday morning this week, because that's when this is going to happen. And and we're going to break into what the Vatican coverage is when the time comes. So if everybody could be with the Relevant Radio app or listening to Relevant Radio on the radio, and then pray along with the church, pray along with the Pope and the rest of the church. And we will post a link on the show Twitter feed, Ronnie, that has the prayer itself. This is the prayer that was released by the Vatican. So they want people to know it ahead of time. They want people to see it and read it and be prepared to pray it when the time comes. So if you would like to get your copy, just have you posted that yet, Cyrus? You probably haven't. So as soon as I read it on the air, Cyrus will post it. And you can get it easily if you're on Twitter by going to @PMadridShow. Or if you're not on Twitter, you don't even have to be signed up for Twitter. You can still get it. Just go to twitter.com/PMadridShow. But if you prefer to go to the show website, just go to relevantradio.com/Patrick, and you'll see the Twitter feed embedded on the right side there. And you can grab the link from that right there. So everybody, you can have your copy in just a little bit. We'll have that for you. So yes, Ronnie, I do encourage people to do whatever they can. You ask if I have any other suggestions. Well, pray the rosary for peace. Our Lady says to do that. And maybe your rosary on Friday will take on a particular intensity because of the gravity of what's going on in Ukraine and the potential for much worse things to happen outside of Ukraine. So I do believe that we are living in prophetic fulfillment times. And the things that were foretold in Fatima in 1917 and the things that were foretold in Akita, Japan in 1973, which are dire, I hope we're not living in those times. But I certainly do believe that the Fatima message is unfolding before our very eyes. Something is happening. There's no doubt about it. Something's happening. Russia is on the move. Russia might be on the verge. And Ronnie, thank you for your phone call. I don't want to keep you endlessly hanging on my continued commentary on this, but thank you for raising this issue. I appreciate it. I just want to add this to the mix. Something is happening in Russia that was not even imagined a month ago. Kind of in the way that the Soviet Union imploded very suddenly. Those of you who are old enough to remember what it was like in 1990 on the eve of the implosion of the Soviet Union, that really sort of in its final phase, it took place in 1991, the fall of the Berlin Wall. Remember when that happened? Remember, we used to talk about East Germany and West Germany. It was unthinkable that the evil empire, as Ronald Reagan referred to it so fondly as, that the evil empire could just implode the way it did. And it did. It just imploded. It just like if you watch a building that's been precision dynamited to bring it down, you know, in one small footprint because they're going to build a new building where that one once was. It was kind of like that. It just all of a sudden just fell down. This mighty empire, the Soviet Union and all of its socialist republics, they got their freedom. This is part of the problem in Ukraine right now. And that is that Vladimir Putin, who was a communist for all those years, and he was a young KGB officer at the time of the implosion of the Soviet Union, he still resents the fact that those satellite states like Poland and Ukraine and Belarus and all the other satellite countries that the Soviet Union had hugged to itself behind the Iron Curtain as a buffer and as a way to control as much territory as possible and exert the malign influence of communism and atheism on the people in these countries, he wants it back. And he said so. It's not as though he's being coy about it. He hasn't said it in so many words, but he's certainly saying it with bombs and missiles and tanks in Ukraine. You know, you got to come back. We got to get you back in. Got to get you into my life, is what Vladimir Putin is saying. So something is happening in Russia right now. And we see every given day, we see stories about turmoil in Russia. The people are restive. There are demonstrations in the streets. I saw a story this morning, a headline that one of Putin's key economic advisors fled the country. He's out of there. I don't know how he did it because, you know, you'd think that people like him would be carefully watched. But he quit his position and he got on a big old jet airplane and he left. And other people are abandoning ship. And you've got the Russian army, at least by all accounts anyway, the Army and Air Force in complete disarray in Ukraine. The country is isolated economically, at least for the most part. I mean, countries like China and Venezuela and Iran, they're still more than happy to do business with Russia, and they are. And there are other countries as well who are doing so. But all of Europe, the United States, Canada, and many other countries have cut Russia off. So they're feeling the hurt, meaning Russia. And it's unknown. I mean, what is Vladimir Putin, what is he up to? What's his end game? What does he want? And he certainly wants more than just getting Ukraine back, if you ask me. So I would encourage you to be really attentive right now to what's happening. Not because you can, I mean, I'm not saying become a foreign policy expert. I'm not. I don't seek to be a foreign policy expert, but Jesus said, watch and pray. He said, watch and pray. Watch the signs of the times. And he gives examples. And these were rustic people, for the most part, to whom he was speaking in Galilee and elsewhere. For the most part, these were not city folk. And he would speak to them in a way they could understand. Like when you feel a hot wind blowing up from the south, you know that summer is near. The Sirocco wind, although he didn't use that word. When you see the bud starting to come forth on a tree, you know the spring is near. And so the Lord, more often than not, encourages us, either explicitly or implicitly, to watch and pray, but to watch the signs of the times, to be aware of what's going on around you. Not so that you can become a foreign policy expert, you know, or an expert on Ukraine. Nobody knew anything about Ukraine. It's the average Joe in the United States, and suddenly the bloggers and the reporters and the radio hosts and everybody is now a quasi-expert on Ukraine. You know, it's not for that reason. It's so that you can be prepared for whatever God's providence unfolds. And I'll tell you, I think about this many times a day, not because I'm thinking morbid thoughts. I'm not thinking morbid thoughts. I'm not thinking, you know, doom and gloom thoughts. I'm aware that things could get bad. And this, of course, is why the Pope is going to consecrate Russia, Ukraine, and now they've inserted the word all of humanity in the prayer. That wasn't in the original text. But in any case, that's why he's doing this. I mean, the Pope's not just doing this on a lark. Like, oh, wouldn't it be nice if we'd said some prayers publicly for Russia? There's a reason behind it, and that is that Our Lady said in 1917, the Pope needs to do this. And I'm prepared to believe that what Pope John Paul II did in 1986, that it was accepted, that it was sufficient. There are people who still debate that point. Whatever, I'm not going to debate it, but whether it was sufficient or wasn't sufficient, Pope Francis is going to do it again. And I see that as a good thing. You know, more is better when it comes to prayer, right? So when I say that I think about this a lot, what I mean is I'm not giving you advice that I don't seek to take myself, and that is to watch and pray and read the signs of the times. I would say don't buy into what, you know, the cottage industry that's out there of conspiracy theorists who make a living on YouTube and blogs and things like that, of keeping people whipped into a frenzy of fear and foreboding about future events and things like that. If you're alive when these things happen, you'll be alive when they happen. And that's part of God's design. But don't lose your peace over all that. And certainly don't get paralyzed with fear. Remember, Jesus said, I quote this passage all the time, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Cheer up, he says. Cheer up. Come on. Even if things get bad, it's going to be okay in the end. If you're close to Jesus, it doesn't matter what Russia does. Could be difficult, could be really difficult. But in the end, if you're close to Jesus and you're receiving the sacraments, and you're in the state of grace, and you're saying your prayers, and you're being a good wife, you're being a good husband, you're being a good student, son or daughter, you're loving God with all your heart, mind, and strength, and you're loving your neighbor as yourself, it doesn't matter what's going to happen. You're going to be okay, even if things get really difficult. So that's in my mind, why we are gathering on Friday with the Pope and all the other Catholics all around the world and all other people of goodwill who are not even necessarily Catholic, who are going to be praying with us and asking Our Lady to intercede to help us avoid World War III or who knows what else. That's why we're doing it, so that we can live in peace, if that's God's will for us. And we'll see how that goes. But in any case, I have to take a break, and when I return, I'm going to read to you the text of the prayer of consecration that Pope Francis is going to read on Friday. Here's your sneak peek coming up right after this quick timeout, so please stay right there.
Notre Dame Federal Credit Union is a member of the Catholic Credit Unions of America. You can find more information and your local Catholic credit union at relevantradio.com/banking.
I love it.
Compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show, coast to coast on Relevant Radio.
If that other song was your daily theme song soundtrack, Cyrus, this could be mine.
I could see that. Yeah.
Complete with sound effects. All right. Okay. Well, we have to get serious now. I want to read to you the text of the prayer that this is the prayer of consecration that the Pope's going to read on Friday when he consecrates Russia and Ukraine. And I have to add this because it was added after the initial version of the text of the consecration prayer was released, or at least limited release. Then there was the addition of the phrase, all of humanity. And some people, you know, again, I don't want to enter into these polemics, but some people are like, why can't it just say Russia? I mean, that's what Our Lady requested. Why can't it just say Russia? Why does it have to have all these other things? So be aware that there are people who are irked even by this. And I don't have a comment on that, just to say, here's the prayer. I'm going to read it to you, okay? And I encourage you, when I'm done reading it, go to the show Twitter feed, at PMadridShow, or go to the show page, relevantradio.com/Patrick, and then grab the link to the prayer, print it out, have it ready, send a link to your family and friends all around the country, and then tell them to listen to Relevant Radio, especially on Friday, when we're all going to be praying this prayer with the Pope for these intentions. So here is the text. Mary, Mother of God, our Mother, in this time of trial we turn to you. As our Mother, you love us and know us. No concern of our hearts is hidden from you. Mother of mercy, how often we have experienced your watchful care and your peaceful presence. You never cease to guide us to Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Yet we have strayed from that path of peace. We have forgotten the lesson learned from the tragedies of the last century, the sacrifice of the millions who fell into two world wars. We have disregarded the commitments we made as a community of nations. We have betrayed people's dreams of peace and the hopes of the young. We grew sick with greed. We thought only of our own nations and their interests. We grew indifferent and caught up in our selfish needs and concerns. We chose to ignore God, to be satisfied with our illusions, to grow arrogant and aggressive, to suppress innocent lives, and to stockpile weapons. We stopped being our neighbor's keepers and stewards of our common home. We have ravaged the garden of the earth with war, and by our sins we have broken the heart of our Heavenly Father, who desires us to be brothers and sisters. We grew indifferent to everyone and everything except ourselves. Now with shame we cry out, "Forgive us, Lord." Holy Mother, amid the misery of our sinfulness, amid our struggles and weaknesses, amid the mystery of iniquity that is evil and war, you remind us that God never abandons us, but continues to look upon us with love, ever ready to forgive us and raise us up to new life. He has given you to us and made your Immaculate Heart a refuge for the Church and for all humanity. By God's gracious will, you are ever with us, even in the most troubled moments of our history. You are there to guide us with tender love. Now we turn to you and knock at the door of your heart. We are your beloved children. In every age, you make yourself known to us, calling us to conversion. At this dark hour, help us and grant us your comfort. Say to us once more, "Am I not here, I who am your mother?" You are able to untie the knots of our hearts and of our times. In you we place our trust. We are confident that, especially in moments of trial, you will not be deaf to our supplication and will come to our aid. That is what you did at Cana in Galilee, when you interceded with Jesus and worked the first sign of his sign, and he worked the first of his signs. To preserve the joy of the wedding feast, you said to him, "They have no wine." John chapter 2, verse 3. Now, O Mother, repeat those words and that prayer, for in our own day we have run out of the wine of hope. Joy has fled. Fraternity has faded. We have forgotten our humanity and squandered the gift of peace. We opened our hearts to violence and destructiveness. How greatly we need your maternal help. Therefore, O Mother, hear our prayer. Star of the sea, do not let us be shipwrecked in the tempest of war. Ark of the Covenant, inspire projects and paths of reconciliation. Queen of Heaven, restore God's peace to the world. Eliminate hatred and the thirst for revenge, and teach us forgiveness. Free us from war, protect our world from the menace of nuclear weapons. Queen of the Rosary, make us realize our need to pray and to love. Queen of the human family, show people the path of fraternity. Queen of Peace, obtain peace for our world. Mother, may your sorrowful plea stir our hardened hearts. May the tears you shed for us make this valley, parched by our hatred, blossom anew. Amid the thunder of weapons, may your prayer turn our thoughts to peace. May your maternal touch soothe those who suffer and flee from the rain of bombs. May your motherly embrace comfort those forced to leave their homes and their native land. May your sorrowful heart move us to compassion and inspire us to open our doors and care for our brothers and sisters who are injured and cast aside. Holy Mother of God, as you stood beneath the cross, Jesus, seeing the disciple at your side, said, Behold your son. In this way he entrusted each of us to you. To the disciple and to each of us, he said, Behold your mother. Mother Mary, we now desire to welcome you into our lives and our history. At this hour, a weary and distraught humanity stands with you beneath the cross, needing to entrust itself to you and through you to consecrate itself to Christ. The people of Ukraine and Russia, who venerate you with great love, now turn to you, even as your heart beats with compassion for them and for all those peoples decimated by war, hunger, injustice, and poverty. Therefore, Mother of God and our Mother, to your Immaculate Heart, we solemnly entrust and consecrate ourselves, the Church and all humanity, especially Russia and Ukraine. Especially, accept this act that we carry out with confident love. Grant that war may end and peace spread throughout the world. The fiat that arose from your heart opened the doors of history to the Prince of Peace. We trust that through your heart, peace will dawn once more. To you, we consecrate the future of the whole human family, the needs and expectations of every people, for anxieties and hopes of the world. Through your intercession, may God's mercy be poured out on the earth and the gentle rhythm of peace return to mark our days, Our Lady of the Fiat, on whom the Holy Spirit descended. Restore among us the harmony that comes from God. May you, our living fountain of hope, water the dryness of our hearts. In your womb, Jesus took flesh. Help us to foster the growth of communion. You once trod the streets of our world. Lead us now on the paths of peace. Amen. That's the text that was released by the Vatican. Now, you notice the word fiat toward the end. That's the Latin word for let it be, as in let it be done to me according to thy word, which is what Mary said to the angel Gabriel when he announced the incarnation of Jesus. She said, fiat mihi secundum verbum tuum. May it be done to me according to your word. That was St. Jerome's translation into the Latin. Now, you may, if you're not a Catholic, you may, as you hear that consecration, scratch your head and say, why are you asking Mary for this? Why aren't you asking God for this? And I understand that for non-Catholic folk, when they bump into something like this without explanation, it can lead to that question. So it's understandable. The reason is because we ask God for all those things already. We're always asking God for peace, for prosperity, for security. We're asking him to bless us in every way possible. We're always asking him because he is the source of all blessings. God is the one from whom these blessings flow. And yet, as you'll notice in salvation history, over and over and over again, you'll see that God chooses to bless and reveal himself and impart knowledge, revelation, etc. More often than not, God chooses to do it through intermediaries. He's the one doing it, but he does it through intermediaries. So let's go back to Luke 1. God didn't show up. God didn't appear to the Blessed Virgin Mary and tell her that she was going to bear a son. He sent an angel. God could have told Mary directly, but he didn't choose to do so. He sent an angel. He sent an angel to St. Joseph when he was sleeping to say, get up, take Mary and the baby and go, because Herod is going to try to kill baby Jesus. He sent an angel. And you can see this endlessly in salvation history, not only in the Bible, but even in your own life. God did not create you directly. He worked through your parents. He created your soul at the moment that you were conceived, and it was infused into your body at that very moment. But the reason I say this is because this is the standard way that the Lord works. And so keep that in mind when you hear Catholics asking Mary, Mary, please pray for us. Please, you know, help us. We put our hope in you. It's the same kind of thing as if you had a serious operation for a deadly condition that could kill you. And you're going to the best surgeon you can possibly find, and you say to the surgeon, you know, I'm putting all my hope in you that you can cure me of this disease, that you can operate and you can fix the problem. I'm putting all my hope in you. By saying that, it doesn't mean that you're not hoping in God. Of course you're hoping in God. And you see God as the ultimate source of your deliverance from that illness, whatever it may be. But you notice that God is working through the skill of the surgeon. God does not open your body up and take out the cancer. The surgeon does. And so you can rightly say to the surgeon, I'm putting all my trust in you that you can do this for me. And it doesn't mean that you're not trusting in God. So please, when you hear Catholics asking Mary for her intercession, we're asking her to pray for us. We're asking her to go before the throne of God, just as we ourselves can. We can now boldly go before the throne of God, because Jesus died on the cross for us, and he repaired that broken relationship that we once had with God, and now we have a right relationship with God. And so in the same way that when you're praying for something that's important to you, and you ask your friends to pray for you as well, don't you? I mean, if you're not a Catholic, I'm sure, nonetheless, if you're a Bible-believing Christian, that you've asked other people to pray for you. Well, that's what we're doing. That's what this is all about. We're asking the most powerful intercessor in heaven, Mary, a creature, we're asking her to pray for us. That's the essence of this consecration. It's not to exclude God or ignore God or to act as if Mary can do all these things, so we're going to ask her instead of God. It's none of those things. As I like to say, any friend of God's is a friend of mine, and yours too. So, with that having been said, Cyrus, even now, is posting the link to that prayer for you. So if you go to the show page, relevantradio.com/Patrick, you'll be able to find it there. Click it, save it, print it out, email it, text it, whatever you want to do. Let people know so that they'll have it at the ready when the time comes. And as I mentioned, Relevant Radio is going to go live to this coverage at the Vatican when the consecration begins. And you can participate, and I hope you will participate. I would also encourage you to spread the word, maybe on your Facebook page or on some other social media platform, just spread the word about the consecration, and you can drop this link in there if you want so that people will know what the prayer is. You can also maybe get the link to the Relevant Radio app. It's, I think, as I understand, it's the number one downloaded Catholic app in the world. It is all around the world. People everywhere, all around the world, listen to Relevant Radio. And that number is growing, and you can help grow it by going to relevantradio.com, and under listen, you want to click on the link for Get the App, and just drop that link into your Facebook page. Text it to people. Maybe you've got people back in the old country who would love to listen to Relevant Radio if they only knew about it. So send them the link. Text the link to the people in the old country and let them listen to Relevant Radio and participate as well. These are all things that are easy to do, and they're free. All right, well, I've timed out for this hour, but I'm coming straight back, and we're going to go right to your phone calls right after this. There is a line or two open. If you call now, you can grab it, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. I'll be right back right after this.